Everybody, my name is Danette. I am a compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and I'm actually quite nervous. I've done this many times, but it always, it's not fear and dread that it strikes in my heart, but it certainly gets it pounding, I'll tell you that much. So where it began, I came into program in 1981, no, 82. I was 22 years old. And I was miserable. I wasn't so much miserable as I was desperate. I was desperately miserable. I couldn't not eat. Once I got the idea, once food touched my lips, I couldn't stop. And the same story as everybody, or many people I've heard, I went to bed every night saying tomorrow would be different. And the next day when I got up, as soon as I ate something, it was not different. It was the same. I didn't understand how to eat. I didn't, and what was enough. And I was just a mess. I had worked one summer at Glacier National Park, and I lived in a house with a bunch of other young women at the time. And one of them women's mom was there visiting. And she said to me, she said, if you would just sit down and eat a meal, you could relax. And that was unfathomable to me. Absolutely unfathomable. I mean, food was my enemy, and it was the only thing that calmed the anxiety that was inside. But it only calmed it as long as I was eating, and I have to eat it. I'd have to eat until I was sick. And so what happened was the cycle of having to eat, being so afraid of how much I was going to weigh, that I learned how to vomit. And what that did was, and it, not to be gross, but what purging did was, is it took everything away and gave a clean start. And it was almost like that became the need more than the food, was to get that new start, to be clean, to have it all go away. All of it go away. Now I could be whatever. But that didn't work either. And for 2 years, I had my head in the toilet probably 8 times a day, if not more. And it was awful. It was really, really awful. And I had a roommate in California whose college roommate had been in OA, and she had shared with me a little bit about that. So I decided to go. And I had... It was okay. You know, I mean, you guys will like this part because of knowing my history with God. She said, well, you know, they talk a lot about God. And I was like, well, if that's what it's got to do, that's what I got to do. So I went to the meeting, and being me, I did not raise my hand and say I was new. I hid in the corner. They read the steps, and I thought, okay, I agree. Now what? I got a sponsor. I was absent for about, at that time, well, 30 days and then you could speak, but I was absent for about 28 days, and there was something in the cabinet that called to me, and I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know how to say no, so I started eating again. So anyway, I did a geographic cure. I came out to Pennsylvania, was miserable. Oh my God, you guys know it. You know the drill, you know the misery. That's why we're all here, we know the misery. And I had a friend who said, hey, why don't you go back to those meetings they helped you before? So I went back to in Pennsylvania again. I didn't say anything until it was the end of this one meeting. It was huge. We sat in a big circle, and I raised my hand. I was the last one to share, and I couldn't get any words out. It was just crying and crying and crying. It was really ridiculous. It was really embarrassing. But that's what got it started for me. And I was looking for a sponsor. And at that time in that meeting, they had a break. Our meetings were an hour and a half, and they had a break in the middle. And people would chat, and I was walking across to the literature table, and this woman said to me, how are you? And I knew she meant it. It wasn't like, hey, how are you? How are you? And I said, well, actually, I'm looking for a sponsor. She said, well, I'm a sponsor. And if I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but I said, oh, shit, because this is not who I wanted. This was an older woman, not quite thin, but it was magic. She was the best thing for me. She really was. And with her guidance, I gave myself, I read this line this morning, give yourself over to the process of recovery. And that's what happened. So that's kind of where I came in. Oh, numbers, I'm 5'2". At my top, I was probably around 160. I stopped weighing myself after a certain point. And I'm on a normal body weight now. Actually, I'm thinner now than I have been in a while. So what happened in the 12-step recovery rooms was, for me, it was magic. I didn't have a self when I came in, but I had a big self. And my sponsor would tell me that humility was becoming right-sized, who and what you are, as you are. And she would often tell me, Danette, join the human race, be like the rest of us. And that was so hard for me because I just had that anxiety inside that I'm not enough, I don't do enough, and I'll never be enough, no matter what I did. And I mean, that's the truth. I graduated first in my college class. And I thought it was nothing. Anybody could do it. I have a degree in engineering. That's nothing. I was only going to be something if I was the best. And somebody was always better. So I just negated myself entirely. So lots of lessons in this program. And how did I learn them? You know, I think about that. I think, how did I learn them? And it was by listening to the other people in the rooms and what they did and how they did it. And wow, I'm losing my train, but I have to tell one more story because this is classic. This is great, especially when you think about the food and how all-consuming it was. And that if I saw something, I had to eat it. And I was about a year and a half abstinent, and I went to Boston with a friend. And there's a place called Faneuil Hall, which people said, well, I should go to. And I thought Faneuil Hall was like a something historic, but it's essentially a food market. And so we're in there. I'm with my friend. She's my college roommate. She's one of us, but doesn't recognize it. Anyway, we stopped at this counter that had all that stuff in it that used to be my thing. And mm-hmm. We both went, wow, look at that. And I realized she was talking about what was in the case. And I was talking about the guy who was behind the counter. And that's when I knew, like, wow, this really does work. And I guess I'm going to back up and I could go all over with stories and things that have happened here. But I got freedom from the food. And once I got freedom from the food, and I did what y'all told me to do. Okay, one more story. I worked in a trailer on a construction site, mostly men. They had a goodie drawer in a filing cabinet that was two desks behind me. And I could hear the filing cabinet open. I could hear the crinkle of paper, the filing cabinet close. And I would just, you know that feeling where it just comes over your back and you're like, oh my God, oh my God. And I would call my sponsor and I'd say, they're eating it again. And she would say, be grateful that they are, so you don't have to. And it was freedom again. You guys, people in this room, give me those things. You know, I, again, I'm going back, but I didn't go to events and eat. I always ate before I went. Because I knew, in a social situation with my anxiety, my people pleasing, I wouldn't have been able to say no if I started eating. So I just didn't eat there. I ate before I went. And I lived through it. They lived through it. So that. What else did I learn in these rooms? The lines that hit me a lot were release me from the bondage of self. which means so much to me. Not only was I released from the bondage of self, I was given a self. I was given a true self. I was given that one that I could count on. And that grows and grows in this program, the truth of who and what I am. And you know how we all say it's about peeling the onion? Did you ever think about peeling the onion? What do you get when you're done peeling the onion? Nothing. There's nothing there. So I don't like that analogy. There's an analogy of an idol, that religious idol that was in the Middle East that was covered in, I think it was plaster or something, to save it during the wars. And after the wars, some religious people were taking it off, and we realized that was pure gold underneath. And I think that's what we do here in this program, is we take off all the old ideas, all of the shame, all of the fear, and we begin to see the pure gold that is underneath it all. And that's, I think, what we do. It's not about, in my life, in my experience, it's not about defects. It's about protections. It's about how to deal with fears. It's all about old ideas. And these rooms gave me, anyway, the safety to explore those and to begin to let them not go. And how much time do I have left? Because I'm yammering. Anybody?
Barry, you have 8 minutes left.
Oh, geez, oh man. Okay, there could be more stories in here.
I'm sorry, you have 4 minutes left.
Oh, even better. I guess, too, I've been reading a bit on step 7 and humility. And I used to think humility meant humiliation. And as so many things in program, when I would hear them, I would always hear, and in life, I would hear the negative. I would hear it in a really, like, the worst possible way, to prove that I was a bad person. And to be humble meant I had to lower myself. And my sponsor would always tell me, no, you know, you have to be right sized. And the line was, humility recognizes the common nature we share with all beings. That idea of being one among many, nobody better, nobody less. And that has been really beautiful to me, to begin to connect with people and to see them and listen to them. It is really a privilege. My sponsor used to say that when she would sit in the meetings and recognize how much she needed the people. Each and every individual, that she really needed them. And I didn't get it, because I thought I just needed her. I didn't need anybody else. But what I see is I just need all the people. And what's beautiful is when I can take that outside of these rooms and recognize I need all the people there too, because they all bring me something that helps me take the stuff off to find the gold. And that is the truth of us. I think that is the absolute truth, and we all have it. And I probably have more time, but I think that's enough. So thanks all. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be here. Oh, one last thing. You thought I was done. In the sharing, I would really humbly ask that you not direct your sharing back to me. You may not know this, but I have ego issues. And this is also something I was taught my sponsor, is to really share to the group. I really appreciate that. Thanks.